How many has felt the wind blow here recently? Yeah, amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. I hate to beat a dead horse. I really do. They don't like it. Neither do I. But there's some things I've been doing here. I'm possessing the promises, and it just didn't get quite done last week, and there's some things I wanted to bring out. I think sometimes we hear good things. We never hear quite the whole story, and we never know how to actually apply it to our life. We talk about, I have all these songs about the anchor holding here this morning. I kind of got to thinking about this because of the promises that God has given us, and yet so many people spend their lives in the wilderness. They get saved, they're out of the bondage of their sin. Sin doesn't have to have reign over them. They've come out of Egypt, if you will, and they're ready. God wants to give them the promised land. God wants to walk them through. By the way, when they got into the promised land, all the problems weren't over. All right, the Christian life can still be victorious in the midst of the issues, in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the battles, and God and all the enemies. Listen, He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Didn't say there's no enemies. He says, I'm just going to take care of you in the midst of the enemies. And there's a lot of people who will say, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I'm just going to struggle until Jesus comes. And we miss out. So don't you have, yeah, we have problems. Absolutely. The Lord's still on the throne. We still got to live by Him. I think some people like living down the bottom. I'll be honest, I hate to say it. Some people think like living down the bottom. Everybody feels sorry for them. Live victorious. Have a testimony. Now, I know there's some people, and I know there's also some people, for some reason, it seems like the Lord has just given them the ministry of suffering. And I'm not saying it to be funny. I think some people God uses, and the people watch them through their whole life, and God uses them through those things. But the fact is, even in the midst of those, it's not victorious if we're not living by the promises. We still ought to be living on the top side, even in the midst of the storm. And so I was thinking about this and how we're going to make ends meet at the end of the month. You know, when there's more month before paycheck runs out before the month runs out. You know, and you got these kind of issues. We got this issue. I don't know how to do this. Don't have the wisdom to make decisions. And all these things we've been talking about. And I really wanted to spend a little bit of time on that yet this morning. And I have one more that's not part of this promise, but a different promise that I, Lord willing, I'll do next week. We'll see what the Lord has on there on the schedule there. But I'm aiming that direction. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about this. I cannot spend a lot of time on this. But I feel like you won't understand the last part that I'm going to give to you this morning if we don't have these things in our minds. So please bear with me. Please bear with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. And let's pray first because I got a feeling I'm going to start preaching and forget to pray. And I think I did that a week or two ago, and I don't like that. I prayed a long time before this. You know, one last prayer is not going to make a difference. But I still like to put one more on there if it's okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessings, for being with us here this morning. Thank You so much for each one You've brought our way. Thank You for our visitors and all these young ones with us here this morning. Thank You for what You're doing in the hearts and lives. Thank You for a good week for the teens out of camp there at WACS, the youth conference there at Shawnee Baptist. And I appreciate, Lord, what You did in their hearts this week, and pray that You'll help them use this for many years to come. Now, Lord, I want to be encouragement to our folks here. And when, Lord, we're here, this is not by accident. Your word needs to be brought forth. There's some things You want to teach us. And, Lord, I pray that each one of us will get exactly what we need here this morning. So we ask for Your Holy Spirit to do the work. And may we have ears to hear, open hearts to be able to hear what You have for us here this morning. And we'll give You the praise for all that You're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, Jesus is talking. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So either one, you got to choose one. Mammon is kind of worldly wealth, the things of this world, the joys of this world. Some people say, well, you know, am I going to do this, or am I going to do right, or is it more important for me to have these things, or for me to have this position? Or me to have, watch, crazy, it sounds great, but me to have this spouse, they're really good looking, they're awful to deal with, but they're really good looking, you know. It's stupid things that we do, it's crazy, it's really crazy, you know. I mean, I tell our young folks, you're marrying character. That's what you're marrying, character. Not just reputation, but character. And so you need to watch what you do. Listen, Well, I won't get into it. I'll get off track here. Verse 25. He says, because you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God, you can't serve yourself. You can't serve God and the world. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. In other words, stop serving the things of this world. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for what your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment. And ladies, life is more than 50,000 pairs of shoes. Just is. I know they're super cute, but the fact is, life is more than shoes. Life is more than clothes. Guys, life is more than cars. Life is more than having one more ugly stick to go fishing with. Life is more than those things. And here he said, well, yeah, but I'm just talking about my daily needs. Food, clothing, shelter. And God says, I know. See, we get all worked up on that stuff. So don't worry about that stuff. I know you got time. You need that stuff. I know you need that stuff. Now, he may not give us as much as we want. See, there again, are we going to follow him, follow God? More stuff we have, the more stuff to take care of. Boy, I really hit one there, didn't I? More stuff we have, the more we have to take care of. See, he says, I know you need those things. See, we worry. Are we going to be able to make ends meet? We're going to do this. The point is this. Sometimes he takes us down to we hardly have enough to make ends meet. But somehow, he does it. He says, it was in the storms of my life when I sensed his love for me. Because that's when he came through in the ta-da, nick of time. When God came through and he paid the bill, God came through and he gave the grace that we needed. God gave the peace that we needed. So he says, listen, you need, and it goes into verse 26, says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. You don't see the birds running around worrying about it. Not one of them wears a wristwatch, you know, and trying to figure, well, I got to get to work on time here. I'm trying to be silly, but he says, the fowls are, they don't gather in the barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than them? Verse 27 says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? But I worry about things we cannot change. Well, if I had just been better looking than I am already. I just think what I could have done. You know what I'm saying? If I had just had a rich dad, if I just had this opportunity, thinking about that stuff's not going to change it. What we need to do is follow what God wants to yield to him, let him follow us step by step. You might be surprised what he'll do. You might be surprised the ability he gives you if we would stop worrying about the stuff and start worrying about following him. So it says, verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. So we're thinking about, we're trying to control our circumstances and all of life, but the fact is, all the life and what the world throws us is really not, it's out of our reach. We can't do anything about it. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God has so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow we're going to cast in the fire, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you trust him? Is he your heavenly Father or not? Well, then let him be your Father. So what's our response should be? Verse 31, therefore take no thought. Don't be anxious saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But I don't think we've got what, listen, I don't think we have enough in the cabinet to eat. I don't think we've got enough to feed the kids. So what is your response to that issue? To worry about things? Worry. No. What we need to do is begin to do what he's going to tell us in a minute. And if you've been here with us, what we need to do is take a walk around Jericho. Well, that's not going to bring the walls of Jericho down. That's a bigger battle than I can ever do. You want me to walk around Jericho? Yep, that's what I want you to do. Why? Because that's what God says to do to exercise your faith, and he'll take care of the walls. So, verse 32, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. The world doesn't have God as their Father. So yes, that's the way they live. And we think they suck us into that. They make us think that's what we got to do to get ahead. They make us think that's what we got to do to provide our needs. Because, you know, I did it. I'm a self-made man. I'm not sure I'd take credit for some of those folks who are self-made men. I'm not sure I want credit for that. The world is worried about it. But it says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Verse 33. Here it is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Stop thinking about what I'm going to need for tomorrow. What I'm going to, I'm not saying go to, don't go to work. Man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Do what you're supposed to do. Get off the sofa and go to work and work hard and don't complain and do the job the boss has asked you to do, as long as it's not illegal, immoral, unbiblical. Do it. I don't like it. Who cares? Is it feeding the family? That's what you're supposed to do. Go out and feed the family. Do what you need to do. But in the meantime, God will take care of the needs. I remember, you've heard this story, when I was out of college, I got laid off. And fact is, I didn't know where the money was going to come from. I had a school bill. We had rented our house, and the people who rented our house were leaving. And they were going to pay the mortgage on the house that we had back here, was going to pay the mortgage and the taxes on that house. So we were about ready to lose that house. We had school bills and a wife and four kids, and I had lost my job because of the recession, and we had hardly anything going on. I went around looking for a job, and nobody would hire me because I had a college degree as being a teacher, and I was getting a second bachelor's degree, and I said, well, you're not, if I hire you, you'll just leave as soon as you find a better job. And I said, well, I really, to be honest with you, I'm not looking to look a career here. I'm going to go through college. Oh, so you're leaving soon. Well, by the time I get you trained, you'll be gone. So I couldn't find a job. All I could find was a little plastics company that some guy had bought. He wanted to spruce it up. And so my job was to come and pull weeds. And they had the people who owned it before, he just bought it, had put all this junk in the backyard, all kinds of stuff. I wasn't sure what I was going to find in it, but I was supposed to they put a great big dumpster. My job was to sort through this stuff piece by piece. I don't know whether he was looking for a body or what, I don't know. But I was supposed to sort through this stuff and put it in the dumpster. Now, I got a college degree. I've been teaching for 8 years. I'm about ready to get a second degree. And my job was $5 an hour, 15 hours of work to move trash and pull weeds. And I was thankful I had a job. Well, that's not good enough to pay the bill. No, but it's more than I had. And God took care of the rest. He paid every bill on time. My focus was not on the job to make money, though God may give me a good job that makes money. Our focus is not to be on the mammon. Our focus is to be on him. I was out of college, and I was going out there to learn to be a pastor. I was trying to learn as much. So in that way, I could say, well, I was seeking the best I could for, according to his calling, I was seeking first the kingdom of God, his authority in my life, and his righteousness, and trying to do right. My job is to do right. Well, you're not going to be able to make ends meet with that kind of thing. You got to do something under the table. My job is to do right. He promises to provide if I do right. This is not preacher talk. This is the reality. This is a promise of God. And too many people are trying around to try to help God out. Well, let's do a little bit of this. I've seen preachers trying to slide by the law to try to save God a few bucks like he's poor. Poor mouth in God. Not poor mouth and God. Now listen, don't go out and be extravagant and waste God's money, but God's not poor. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the hills and all the taters under the hills. He has everything we need. He said he'll provide all our needs according to his riches in glory. There's a whole bunch of them up there. I still believe, this is kind of figurative, but I think we're going to get to heaven and we're going to move into our mansion and we're going to find a storage room in the back end of that thing, and it's going to be locked up, and we're going to ask, what was in that storage? That was all the blessings I wanted to give you when you were on earth, but you never asked for them. You never did what it took to possess the promises. They're all, it's full of them, but you never saw them down there because you didn't trust him for it. Again, I'm not name it and claim it. Let him name it and we claim it. He says, I'll provide food and clothing and shelter. Now, during that time, I'm picking weeds and moving trash. We ate a lot of beans and rice. A lot of beans and rice. I heard you said that the other day. But I was working hard. The fact is, I was in the best shape I had been in years. It wasn't this shape. This shape is round. That was a different shape. But I was in the best shape I had been in years. He says, here's what we need to do. Now, of course, we've talked about the fact that you possess the gospel. You don't earn eternal life. You possess growth in him. You don't earn growth in him, but you put yourself in the middle of God's word and immerse yourself in it. And, same thing with guidance. 2 Peter chapter 1. He'll give you the guidance. You go back and listen to those. And last week, we talked about possessing the goods. Now, we're going to possess the goods. I kind of talked about, first of all, last week, we got to know who the boss is. He's the boss. Now, that's the first thing. It's not our decision what is determined to be righteous and what's determined to be unrighteous. God determines that. There's a lot of things in society. I know I've told you this story, but I always think about this. We had some missionaries, and they were in Bolivia. And one day, this lady came up to the lady missionary, and she was all upset because she says, I just feel so sinful, so awful. Because there, they didn't have anything, and one of the worst sins you could do would be stingy. Not sharing what you had, because everybody had so very little. But the fact is, this lady had gotten saved, and she was just so upset, and she said, what's wrong? She says, I just feel so sinful. Well, why? I just feel so stingy. I shouldn't be doing this. And I said, well, what's the problem? Well, the lady next door wants me to share my husband with her. And I just don't want to do that. Now, twisted. That's just always the epitome of twisted thinking. There are things in this world we say are wrong because the world says it's wrong. I mean, there's some people who think it's wrong to waste your time going to church. They think it's wrong to give your tithe to the church. They think it's wrong to take your kids to church and get them brainwashed. By the way, a lot of brains ought to be washed. But brainwashed with the Word of God. They think it's wrong. And almost think that you're bad. There's going to come a day. So help me. I think there's going to come a day when people are going to be arrested for giving their kids this type of education. Religious education, Bible truth. So we got to decide what God says is right. Now, he says we're supposed to seek God. He says, seek ye first, priority, first thing, above all other things. Get that again, above all other things. Seeking God, his kingdom, his authority in my life, to have him control my life should be the top priority of everything else in my life. Be honest with you, he made the whole world and all the universe around it. He's a pretty smart guy. I think I want him running my life rather than me. Huh? I want him running my life rather than me. So it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't really mention this last week, but the fact is, if you're going to seek God, you can't do it half-heartedly. I'm just saying. So, well, I sought him some. Well, you'll probably get something out of it. Something. But if you're going to seek God, you've got to decide, seek ye first. Didn't say seek him among the mammon. He says seek ye first above the mammon, above the things of this world. So that means, even though other things may stop us providentially, I mean, there's sometimes, don't just give up. Well, you know, I got a flat tire, I'm going to be 10 minutes late for church, I'm not going to go. By the way, if you think you're going to come in late and say, well, I'm not going to church because I'm coming late, don't blame that on me. You come. You come. In fact, I think God is kind of happy when you say, I'm going to come, even I got to be 10 minutes late, even I didn't have to have time to go home and change my clothes. My job is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, I came in the wrong clothes. No, you're seeking first your personal appearance and what everybody else thinks about you. Now, I want to give God my best, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the fact is, if I have to choose between wearing a suit and getting to church, I'm going to church. And I think God wants that. If I have to choose between knowing God and some other thing, I want to seek first the kingdom of God. But if I'm going to seek Him, I got to seek Him with all our heart. I've mentioned this before. I grew up in a little church that had church on Sunday morning. That was it. And by the way, it started at 11 o'clock sharp and ended at 12 o'clock dull. And if you went past 12 o'clock, man, it was bad news. We had a preacher who was a good man that and he decided if he was going to move before he retired, he had to go. So he left, and we got some guy in for 1 year, and he would say, I hate to say it, he's kind of like me. He was a little long-winded, but he just kind of talked and just kind of talked and just kind of talked and talked. And one of the guys, one day, been there forever, said, if you're going to talk so long, I'm going to bring a lunch. The next Sunday, this preacher gets up in the pulpit, and he bends down here and he pulls out this bag and he says, well, Ralph, if I start preaching too long, I brought you a lunch. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. But we don't come to get out, we come to hear the word of God. Now I know I get long-winded. I know I do. It's not because I want you to hear me preach. I want you to hear the word of God. And I want you to know the whole story because I don't want you to know half the story because you take it out of context and you don't get the full gist of it. And you're going to do something crazy, and I don't want you to do something crazy. Now, we need to seek with all our heart. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The fifth book, the Pentateuch of the Bible, Deuteronomy 4:23. Probably going to read more than we need, but I want you to see what's going on here. I want you to see the implications here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, they're about ready to go into the promised land, and he says, now you know what, there's going to be problems. And see, I just said, watch this. You said, well, you know, I'm 30 years old, I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old, I'm 70 years old, I'm 80 years old, and I haven't done this right up until now, and there's no sense in starting now. Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Deuteronomy 4:23, he says this, take heed unto yourselves. In other words, look at yourself here now. Keep yourself under account. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. He says, God made a promise. Now, God makes promises. In the promise we're looking at right now, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise. So let's look at and put it in that perspective. Take heed unto the promise he's given. Now, he says, don't forget about the promise and end up making a graven image or likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. You could say it this way. Don't forget God has promised to take care of you. He's to go out and do something stupid and start bowing down to the world. Bowing down to the mess of the world has. Trying to say, well, this is what I got to do to make ends meet. Well, this is just the way it is in the world. This is just, you know, this is what you have to do. God supersedes the world. It may be subtle, but somehow, listen, can I get a witness? There's times when the numbers didn't add up, but you still had enough money to pay all the bills, huh? Can do you have some around here? Come on. I know I'm not the only one. All right, good. You say, well, does it make sense? I can't tell you how many times years past where we, you know, it's like there's not enough, but somehow when it was all measured out, there it was. It was. I don't take this wrong, but. We were sitting in a deacon's meeting a few months ago, and I said we had a project. Please don't take this wrong. I'm going to lose a blessing, but maybe you'll get a blessing out of it. And I just felt like we had some things in the new building, and we needed to put in a kitchen, a new three basin sink in there. And we're tight. To be honest with you, there's some tight. We did this parking lot, and that wasn't really on the docket, and so it was $40,000. And so it really pinched us for a little bit there. And I'm glad it's done. I really think it was the right move to make. But we're just a little pinched. Now, you all have been very faithful. Man, we're coming right back up. It's just amazing how you bless. But anyway, I said, you know what? I'll give $500 to it. I don't throw money around like that. But I just felt like the Lord said, give them $500 toward that. And by the way, it did show up, right? Okay, I think it did. Okay, it did show up there. Anyway, it was in the bank. It was in the. But anyway, $500. Before that week was over, I got $500 that I wasn't expecting. It paid for it. Now, he works differently. You don't expect to happen the same way all the time. And sometimes he's put, listen, early years, he pushed us further. Now it's almost just like a little reminder. I'll take care of you. I know you do. You're really good. Where sometimes he's got to push us. He's got to make it hard so that when the answer does come, you don't forget it. That's why I tell those certain stories. Why do you tell that same old story? Because it was a hard deal. But he saw me through. And he said, listen, Sterling, one of these days you're going to have to give some kind of proof that this is real. And I want you folks to know it. Now, fact is, he doesn't have to do it every month, every week. I learned my lesson. I don't want to do that. You know what I want to do? I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and let him take care of those things. Now, watch what he says. Back in Deuteronomy, he says, verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Now, watch. When thou shalt beget children, get children and children's children, ye shall have remained long land. In other words, things are going well, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image. You know, you're going to go out there, you're going to look for the world. You're trying to serve the mammon, you're not serving the Lord, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days. It's going to get rough. You'll be back out in the wilderness. You will not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. You shall be left few in number among the heathen. He did that. Here's the principle, where the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve the gods and work of men's hands and wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. You're out there serving mammon, which is not a real thing. It's not like God. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou in the tribulation all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee. He knows you have need of these things. Neither destroy thee nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Listen, he says it's not too late. It's not too late. Jeremiah 21:10 goes the same type thing. I won't read it all to you. But he says, and ye shall seek me, verse 13, 29:13, Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And I will be found unto you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again to the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. We need to seek with all our heart. Secondly, we need to seek the Word of God. This is the mind of God. Raymond Barber, y'all, almost every time he'd preach, always said, when you open the Bible, you open the mind of God. And he says, let's see what he's thinking in Matthew 6:23 or whatever it is, you know. And seek the Word of God. These are in Psalm 119, right in the middle of the Bible there, Psalm 119. I want to show you a couple things here. You say, what does this have to do with having my needs met? Your needs are met when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The walls of Jericho are going to come down when you decide you're going to, by faith, do something as silly and see that what's such a waste of time as walking around the city one time every day for 6 days and seven times the seventh day. Psalm 119, verse 1. By the way, this Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And if actually every eight verses, whatever it is, it's divided up there, is a letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. Anyway, Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways, and thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. How am I going to be blessed? Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing what he's called me to do. Psalm 119, look at verse 8. Verse 8. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now watch me. He says, I'm doing what you told me to do, so I can pray that you won't forsake me. And I'm going to hear my prayer answered. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed unto according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. What's he saying? If keeping your word is going to bless me, if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'm going to have all these things, then give me some more word that I can keep. Give me some more laws. Give me some more rules of life. Tell me how I can do it. Now listen, if I could get being a millionaire for dummies, 66 steps to being a multimillionaire, and we'll sit there and read that thing. And we got 66 books over here that says this is how God's going to bless you. And we leave it sit on the coffee table and gather dust. Delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at verse 33, Psalm 119:33. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Look at verse 56. This I have because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. And I made haste. I got there fast. Delayed not to keep thy commandments. I found out that if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will take care of me. And this guy says, well, then that's what we're going to do. It's dumb to stay over here if God gives me a promise if I go his way. Why don't I go his way? He's given me a promise. Take the promise. Possess the promise. We have to seek first the kingdom of God. We got to seek with our whole heart. And we got to seek through the word of God. Let me give you another one here. Seek through the people of God. The people of God. I mentioned this last week. People say, well, I can go out on the bass pond there, and I can worship God just as easy out there as I can in here. You could, but you're not. Worship means you're going to give God your undivided attention and devotion. You're too busy trying to bring that fly in again. You know what I'm saying? Put it out there. I got to fix that fly. You tell him. You know what you're doing? Lord, let me get a fish. That's how we think we're worshiping God. Lord, my buddy got one the other day, and the thing was 17 inches. There's got to be an 18-inch out here somewhere, Lord. Come on. That's not worshiping God. I'm sorry. Do it on Saturday. And you have that conversation on Saturday. He has a sense of humor. God, have a good time. There's nothing wrong with that. But right now is the Lord's day. And you're here. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we're here. We're here. Look. Hebrews 10:22 says this. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He gave the promise, possess it. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Things get worse. Don't run away from God. Go run to him. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but we need each other. I'm going to say this. You might think this is self-serving, but it's not self-serving. If I want to make a lot of money, I would have done another job. I'm not looking for mammon. I'm looking for what's in heaven. But the fact is, you want to seek first the kingdom of God. You need to be seeking his word. And one of the ways we seek his word is by being here. I'm going to say it. You ought to be in Sunday school. You ought to be in Sunday school. Every one of us should be in Sunday school because we're getting another lesson. It's not just the preacher preaching at you, which is important too, but you need to know the Word of God. You need to know the Word. Why do we believe what we believe? Well, the preacher said so. That's not going to hold up. Thy word have I hid, not the preacher's word that I've hid in my heart. Thy word. Why do you read? I had someone complain they left because I read too much scripture. That's what we're here for. To have the mind of Christ, not the mind of Sterling Walls or the mind of anybody else, is the mind of Christ. Now, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means we need to seek first His righteousness. To seek to do right according to God's definition. To do so as precisely as you understand it to be. Now, when I got saved, a lot of things I didn't understand. But I did know that I was a sinner. I did know that the wage of sin is death. I was going to hell. But I did know that there was a Savior. That God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for my sins. And it was a gift that if I'd receive it, I could have it. I knew that much. That's about all I knew. When I met Janet, she thought I was some kind of, you know, great theological mind, you know. I'd been saved when I was 11. I met her when I was 18. And 7 years, and for she had, it was all new to her. It was all new to her. And I guess she figured after 7 years I should know something. And you know what? She had a right to assume that. It was a shame that I didn't know more than I did. We need to seek first His righteousness, not our idea of right and wrong, not our idea of deal of close enough. I know I spent a lot of time on it, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have good success. That's what those things in the Psalms say. You mean if I seek first, if I learn His commandments and I start doing what He's supposed to do it out of obedience, He'll start blessing me? That's it. Well, hey, where do I start? How far can I go? How much of this can I know? Well, He'll say, I'll keep teaching you as long as you live. To the point where I know, though I'm not perfect, I have given my life to Him and He's going to take care of the needs. I don't have to worry about the needs. I don't have to worry about the bills. My job is to do it the way He asked me to do it, to spend money the way He's asked me to spend it. Don't get mad at me here. I had a fellow years ago who was coming here, nice guy, and he was coming up short on his gas bill. He needed $200. Now, don't get mad at me, please. I'm just telling you a principle here. Why don't you get some kind of concrete thing? And I went down to see him. He needed $200 to his gas. He says, I'm tired of taking cold showers. And I said, I need to pay my gas bill. And I said, okay, well, I'll be down. I'll talk to you. So we came down, and we talked to one. He was one of these guys that smokes and almost lights one cigarette off the other. And I had a dog, but he has a horse. Should have been over here at Gettysburg, the miniature horse farm. I think it was bigger than some of their critters. He had this nice dog. No, I don't have anything against dogs. I'm not really an animal person, but I have nothing against dogs. But he had this great big dog. We stood there and chatted and stuff. And I said, man, how much does a pack of cigarettes cost now? And he gave me a price. I don't even have any idea. It was $5, $6, whatever it was. It was something crazy. What is it now? I don't know. But anyway. And I said, how many of those packs did you smoke a week? And he told me, I said, man, what's that up to? And he was $120 a month he was spending on cigarettes. And I said, and we talked a little while. And I said, boy, the big dog, I guess he eats a lot, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. I said, what's it cost to feed him? It was about $60 a month. That was $180. And then a little further into conversation, he says, I don't drink that city water. It's not good for you. I drink Mountain Dew. No wonder he was wired. I'll almost guarantee he drank at least $20 worth of Mountain Dew before the month was up. There's $200. Well, what are you saying? You can't drink Mountain Dew? No, I'm not saying that. But if you can't afford to pay your bills and drink Mountain Dew, then you drink water. That's all I'm saying. In fact, sometimes God paid. There was times, this is in our life, we didn't have any extra. I remember we decided one day after Sunday morning service, we were going to splurge. And we were, I'd never been to one of these before, but I heard about them. Some people just swore by them. We went to a White Castle. I never knew what, you know what, around here we don't have those things, but a little hamburger joint and have little rolls, little square hamburgers and so forth. And I'm going to get myself in trouble here, I know. But I said, let's go to White Castle. You can get one of those things for like 10 cents or 15 cents. I mean, it was like nothing, you know. And, of course, our kids were real little, and one of those would feed them. I'm serious. I mean, you know, they were little. One of those was all they needed. That's a perfect little fit. You know, now I needed a half a dozen of them. But they were only 10, 12 cents a piece, you know. And we sat down and had lunch. I'm not going to the White Castle again. I'm just telling you. That was a splurge. Because we weren't going to go out there, get down here to Hardee's and buy a $7 hamburger with a, you know, with all the sauteed mushrooms and the cheese and the, you know. Whew, time to stop. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know we're getting long here. God has everything we need and is more than willing to provide it. He loves to provide for his creation. We must be willing to do whatever the master says. But he's not going to ask to do anything that's bad. In fact, the worse it looks, probably the bigger the blessing is that's coming. If we want to possess the goods and all our needs, we need to first be determined to make God the king of our life and do whatever the king says, even if it looks like it's not getting us anywhere, even if it looks like it's going to make life more difficult. We must be willing to do whatever God says, however God says. Sometimes what God asks us makes it look like we're going the wrong direction. We're going to lose ground. We're not going to be able to provide the needs of our family. We're not going to gain ground. What God is asking may seem foolish in the scheme of things. Every job, I said the other week, every job that I've taken over in my life, I've always made less money. Less money and more work. And yet, God has provided. Now, I'm now making more than I've ever made. I'm still not making as much as I know we've got some laborers out here who make. I'm not complaining that. I don't need to complain about that. God has provided. That's my point. I'm not complaining. This past year, I didn't take a raise. I'm not patting myself on the back. I didn't take a raise because I knew we were pinched and some things we needed to do with the building. I didn't take a raise. They would offer it to me, but I didn't want a raise. Why? God's going to provide my needs. I know he will. He promises to. Now, don't be foolish, but he promises to take those needs. Now, if I'm going to do everything God wants me to do, then there's some little things. Watch this. I don't know what goes on in your house. God does. I don't know what goes in your mind. God does. I don't know what goes on in your heart. God does. So when we say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we're not saying how we appear to others. That is so important because it's like if everybody else thinks I'm a great guy, then maybe I'm a pretty great guy. And God says, you're scum. You just look good. Listen, reputation is what people think we are. Character is what God and your wife knows you are. Your God, your spouse, your kids know that you are. One little white lie won't hurt. Well, God knows about it. I'm not going to say you can't pull a surprise party on somebody and kind of fudge the truth a little bit. I'm not saying that. But you know what? Don't be so good at it that people realize you're a good liar. I know it sounds funny, but you know what? Say, well, that, you're taking all the fun. No, I'll tell you, fun is knowing that all my needs are met. Lay my head on my pillow and know, I don't know, sometimes, there's times in my life where I didn't know how in the world it was going to work, but God was going to do it. Little sins, little anger, bitterness, things that the world just sets aside as normal routine of life. Maybe all it takes to keep you from the blessings of God that God wants to bring to you. God, listen, God may ask you to take a job that makes less money. God may ask you to exercise faith in Him and not faith in us or faith in the world. And when He asks us to take a job, you know what? Most times, there's only one option that works, and it's usually the most undesirable option when it talks about work. That there's always usually only one that's not compromising the Word of God, and it's usually not the most attractive job. Why would God do that? He wants you to walk by faith, and He's going to prove Himself to you. Now, don't just take the bad job just because it must be the one. No, don't be silly. God is asking whether we trust Him. We answer by doing what He asks, even if it makes no sense. If He wants us to take a lap around Jericho, or two, or three, or 15, well, I don't have time to take a lap. I need to worry about this stuff. You don't have time to worry about this stuff. You got to keep yourself busy following the Lord's work, the Lord's word. I believe that many folks do not have their basic needs simply because they refuse to possess it. Now, hang on. They refuse to possess it because they refuse to do what they need to do to possess it. If Joshua had refused to do the foolish thing that God requested of him to defeat Jericho, they would not have defeated Jericho. God says to seek first His authority in our lives and to seek to live righteously as He defines righteousness, that He will provide all our needs. Seeking God's authority in our lives means obeying Him and doing as He commands. To refuse to do that, but instead live like the world in areas that we know better, means we have refused to possess the promise that God has already provided for us, because we refuse to seek first the kingdom of God, His rule over us in our lives, and that God tells us what to do and how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, and to seek Him with all our heart and live as He wants us to live. It's just not that hard. To refuse to obey God is to rebel against God, and that's a very dangerous place to be. We are to live righteously. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way, though he fall, and we all do. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. And here's the frame. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. We're looking for the world to provide for us, and that's God's job. He wants to do it. Got to do it His way. We'll move on to something else next week. Got another promise for you, but move on to something else next week. But think about it. I'm dead serious about this. Dead serious about this. Do the best you can in understanding the Word of God and obeying it, and you'll be surprised how God will take care of you. Father, thank you again for your Word. Thank you for the promises. And I thank you for these people. Now, Lord, help us to rise up in arms of faith and take your word and live by it. And watch the blessings. Watch the blessings. Father, use us at this time. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Piano organ is going to play in just a moment. In fact, then go ahead and start. Go ahead and start. The Lord's spoken to your heart about some things. Would you come? I don't know what the